Be proud of me. Lord, not may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our heart sort of tell the events as it happens in real. We get to 11, and Peter is back in Jerusalem, and I can just imagine what this looks like. Here, the people in Judea have been hearing these rumors that these Gentiles have been given the Holy Spirit, and these Gentiles, these ultimate outsiders, have been brought into full communion, full members of the community. This is shocking and hard to believe. And so when Peter walks through the door, I'm sure they're looking at him like, what did you do? This is not, they probably weren't really very polite about it, quite honestly. Every parent has sort of said those words to a child, I'm sure. What did you do? This is a Calvin and Hobbes moment. And Peter just sort of takes a step back and calmly says, well, this is what happened. This is what I saw. This is how I interpret what I saw. I didn't do it. God did it. Right? Here is Peter saying, what I observed is the Holy Spirit coming upon them and them speaking in tongues and doing all the things that, the same thing that happened to us. You remember just not very long ago. And I saw this with my own eyes, and these witnesses, these people that were with me, they saw it too. And who was I to stand in the way of what God's Spirit was doing in this place? Who was I to not offer the waters of baptism to these people whom God had chosen and blessed? It's a good reminder that God is in charge. God is the one that opens our hearts to be more inclusive, to draw that circle wider, to invite others in to the journey. We aren't the ones that are in charge of that, and that's a really good thing. Because if we were in charge of that, if humans were in charge of deciding who was in or who was out of God's favor, can we imagine what that might look like? Yeah, we can, without really any trouble at all, and we would get it wrong. Right? We have gotten it wrong for pretty much our entire existence as humanity. We put all kinds of barriers in front of the people we love and who we choose to love and who we don't. We put limits. We put boundary markers on who exactly is in our in-group. For the Jewish followers at this time, they had some really strict in-group markers. Male circumcision, what kind of food you were allowed to eat, whom you were able to eat with. And then there's Peter, walking into the house of a Roman centurion, a Gentile, an oppressor, bestowing upon his household all the benefits of belonging to this religious community, all the benefits, without any kind of conditions at all. That was a shocking change of interpretation. That was a very unsettling thing to do. because we like our separateness. We know Jesus' command to love our neighbor as ourselves, but how many times do we limit whom our neighbor is so that following that command becomes a little bit easier? In how many different ways can we control who it is that is in our circle of influence, the people that we interact with on a day-to-day basis? Perhaps there are laws that might say that only certain kinds of people can buy property in this area. Or perhaps there are clubs in which you need to have a certain kind of membership to be a part of. You need to be nominated by someone who is already a member to have your credentials, sort of, you know, your bona fides approved of. Maybe there are certain kinds of places where you can go and certain kinds of places where you cannot. So yeah, if we humans were in charge of advancing God's work in the world, we would probably get it wrong a lot. But if we are open to the movement of the Spirit, then we know that we are invited to include people, to extend ourselves outside of our comfort zone, outside of the places where we would normally go to invite people in. This week I had lunch, or coffee rather, with Pastor Lex over at Lake Edge UCC. He and Everett Mitchell from Solid Rock Baptist Church have been in conversation over the last couple of years about combining their churches into one location. Next Sunday, June 2nd, the congregation at Lake Edge will vote on this merger. And then at the end of June, Christ the Solid Rock membership will vote as well. And if all goes well, two congregations, one predominantly suburban white and one predominantly blue-collar black, will join into one space. That's crossing some boundaries. They'll still be two separate congregations. They'll worship at different times, but they will have a number of activities and opportunities to form relationships with one another and to become one larger worshiping community. This is exciting stuff. And you can imagine what either congregation might have said, whether it's Lex or Everett, when they first approached their membership to say, hey, I've got this great idea. We want to bring, you know, both of us into one place. What have you done? Right? You can imagine the trust that needed to be built up. Lex was commenting on a children's moment he had when during this process, where he asked the kids, how many of you have moved into a new house? Lots of kids raise their hands. What makes your new room feel like yours? Lex asked them. When my stuff is there, they answered. And he said, exactly. That's why, after this merger happens, we're going to take out all these pews and we're going to bring the chairs from Christ the Solid Rock Church into this space. What do you think about that? All the kids said, yeah! And all the adults in the congregation said, what? But this is my pew! We don't know about those chairs. Other people have sat in them. We don't want to sit in those chairs. And Lex is like, are you kidding me? Man, they have like cushions. He actually went so far as to borrow two or three chairs from Christ the Solid Rock, put them in their entryway and say, sit here. Test them out, because you know what? These are way more comfortable than those hard wooden pews that we got. But it's all kinds of things like that. Change brings anxiety. I know you know nothing of that. Right? You know nothing about how change and any little disruption can make us feel unsafe. And when we feel unsafe, we close in those walls a little more. God throws open the doors. God invites even the Gentiles into this community. God breaks down barriers because his love is about all of us, recognizing that we are one people, recognizing that there is nothing that separates us. Jesus' command, we call it the new commandment, but really, it's not that new. To love your neighbor is something that was part of the law out of Leviticus, to love your neighbor as yourself. The only new part about it, to love one another as I have loved you. Jesus, by his example, throwing open the doors and embracing those on the margin, embracing those that are unclean, embracing those that have been thrown away from society. That is who and how we need to be. I invite you to think about where this church is being called to be inclusive of others, to be joyfully inclusive of others, to embrace others, not simply to allow them to come and hand out water bottles, but to let them cross the finish line with you. That is what we are called to be.